And my feet are so far on the ground that I can hardly see the clouds, let alone be in them. And I've never really agreed with Paul personally that if what we believe is not true, that we're to be pitied more than all men. Now, I can understand where he's coming from, and perhaps if I'd undergone the persecution that his correspondents had, then I might feel the same way. But I've always felt that life is much better with God than it could ever have been without God. And what I've received in this life, even if it wasn't true, I wouldn't want to change it. And if I look around society, I also think that life would be so much better for everybody if people actually followed the guidelines that God gave. Society would be a much better place. So I don't really think that I would be ought to be pitied if it wasn't true even, although, as you can imagine, I actually do believe it's true. But sometimes, now and again, and I think about heaven and think, well, what's it going to be like, etc. And I was very struck when I watched the Archbishop of Canterbury's funeral, it's many years ago now, of Donald Coggan. And I remember the commentator saying that one of Donald Coggan's friends, one of his bishops or archbishops, when he'd heard, had written him a letter saying, "Congratulations, wish I was coming too." And I thought that it was very unconventional, and I thought, what a great way to be. Yeah, you know, let's look at life after death as something positive. So I was really struck by this. But being so earthbound, I've often thought, when it comes down to it, if I'm ever told I'm going to die, will I still have that confidence? Or will I start to doubt? Now, I actually think along very similar lines to my brother. We're very alike. And he's become an atheist. And I actually can understand that. And I've always thought, when it comes to the crunch, will I still believe? Well, for those of you, most of you know that I had a major experience, shall we say, 3 months ago, 12 weeks this weekend. For those of you who don't know, I collapsed at the gym with a heart attack and my heart stopped for 15 minutes. I was then taken to hospital. I'm very grateful I am for all the care, etc., that I was given, etc. And I had a quadruple bypass a couple of days later. Now, I don't remember any of that. For 10 days, I was completely out of it. I feel a bit of a fraud, really, because everybody says I was so ill, but I never actually recognized it at the time. I obviously must have been aware of some things, because I knew that I was sick and that I was near death. Dean had been talking to me. I must have picked up something, even though I wasn't conscious. And even before I became conscious, I said to God, "Lord, if you want to take me, I'm quite willing to come, but can you do it now rather than later, please, because I'm not enjoying this." Because I was having nightmares or hallucinations. I really was not very happy. The family think I was very selfish about that. They think I ought to have stayed around a bit longer. But that was what I had said to God. And I didn't have any of those doubts at all about where I was going, or that I didn't have the confidence that heaven was going to be good, which was actually rather nice. You know, I know now that I can have confidence that I'm not going to doubt at the last minute. But that was the very first thing I remember, which was some time before I actually was awake and aware of anything going on around me. And the second thing that I remember was peace. It was like a dark, just dark, velvety and silent. And it wasn't even a voice, but in the silence I heard, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Just that thought going through that. And yes, it gave me wonderful peace. And I can't say that I knew I wasn't going to die at that stage. I just knew that it was going to be fine. I have to say, the next thing I remember is Dean telling me to stick my tongue out at the kids because nobody thought I was responding. And that may have been some time later. But that was, for me, the confidence was there. I no longer need to doubt. I may still be earthbound and think life, I'm too busy living this life with God to worry about the next life with him. But that's a confidence that it's given me. Every Salvation Army funeral I go to, now I always hear one song, which is our next song. And I'll tell you a story about it. It was the first funeral we did as officers, just after we'd been commissioned. And we went to Woodbridge, the First Corps, and there was a Dutch lady there who was a bit of a martinet. And she had come into the hall long before we got there, but she'd sat at the back and said, "I don't believe, but I just thought I'd come in if you don't mind." So, yeah, the Corps had said, "That's fine." But she'd found God, and she died of breast cancer, and she'd planned her funeral beforehand, and she wanted this song, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in My Saviour's Blood?" And she chose it because she felt that her chains had fallen off and the heart was free when she became a Christian. But for me, the bit that always stands out is the last lines, because I can see her doing exactly this. "Boldly I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own." And as we sang it, I had a picture of her literally marching up to the gates of heaven and saying, "I'm here, can I have my crown, please?" And every Salvationist funeral I've been to, I actually see that person in my mind walking up to the gates and saying, "I'm here, can I have my crown, please?" And I think, yes, I'm not sure that I'll demand my crown, but I'll certainly be meekly asking, "Please, can I have it?"